Grace and peace are yours from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, choir, thank you for that anthem. I don't think I've ever heard that one before, and if I had, I would have prepared you for how beautiful it would be. That was like a prayer. We begin today our fall sermon series with one of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. So beautiful, so lyrical, so familiar to so many of you, I'm sure. And yet I wonder if we know it as well as we think we do, or are we like one who boasts, I know this story like I know the back of my hand. Where did that mole come from? The mole I think many of us miss is, we can be forgiven, quite small. More like a freckle. I'll read it one more time. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. Did you catch it? The earth was a formless void. The earth was. When God began this great work of creation, the earth already was. So what was it? Our reading says formless and void, and I like that. It's poetic. But another reliable translation earns points for clarity. It reads, the earth was complete chaos. Isn't it still? This is normally where I'd make a joke about my home life with three small boys, but there are more powerful examples in the headlines these days. It might not be complete chaos, but our experience of life on planet Earth is not an experience of a perfectly ordered clockwork creation. What could we call the recent disaster in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia except chaos? Whole cities practically blotted off the map, roads devoured, bridges swallowed. All that engineering and planning and order made suddenly formless and void. And it's senseless. Now that last little comment, that flies in the face of one of the most deeply held religious beliefs in American Christianity. Scholars call it providence. So I don't blame you if you squirmed a little. Even if you don't know, you think this. This has colored the water in which we've swum our whole lives. Providence is the idea that everything happens for a reason. You know this. The idea that it's all part of God's plan. You know this. As well-meaning and as frequently comforting as those sentiments can be, events like Hurricane Helene challenge them and show the limits of their usefulness. The alternative is not that life is meaningless, although who understands the meaninglessness of life more than Vikings fans? Do you want the score update? It's on in the back room. Somebody said yes, but I can't. There's somebody here who's recording and I can't do it. I'm so sorry. It's not that life is meaningless, but the reason, that's the hanging word. What reason could God give? What plan could justify all this pain? And what would we think of such a planner, by the way, if it wasn't our God? If you read in a story or saw in a movie a plan that intentionally destroys a city, that kills hundreds of the most vulnerable among us, you would understand on a story level, this is no plan, this must be the supervillain's plot. And this is why that little freckle matters so much from our Bible reading. Why it's worth making a mountain out of that mole, because it's so easy for us to unintentionally, in fact with great intentions, to turn God into a villain so he'll fit into a box that I actually don't think we need to keep carrying. When life happens, which it always does, The shock of it can either sweep our faith away in dramatic fashion or more subtly and perhaps more dangerously tempt us to imagine that God is the cause of our suffering. And even if it's for some hidden good reason, it's hard to love and trust a God like that for the long term. And love and trust, those are the essence of faith. So where does that leave us? Teetering. I know you've seen it in friends and family. Perhaps you've experienced it. You can step back and look at the state of the church in the country and the world and recognize it. Teetering. If we have to believe that everything that happens is God's direct doing, then every imperfection threatens our sense of God's goodness or God's competence or, worst of all, God's existence. In other words, how could God let this happen? That's a major crisis of faith looming. But when we read this passage from Genesis, and when we recognize that all of this wasn't made in a vacuum, in a sterile environment, in a Swiss watchmaker's workshop, that God formed the seas and the skies and the plants and the birds and even us from that formless, chaotic stuff, and breathed life into that void, filling us with the Holy Spirit, that changes everything. No longer do we have to feel compelled to lay every single thing at God's feet and ask, "How could you do this? Why my son, God? Why this war? Why that storm?" Instead, we're free to simply confess that bad things are bad, without acrobatically contorting ourselves into a pretzel to think they must somehow be good. We are free to give God our anger and our pain and our confusion, as the psalmist does throughout the Psalms. And as Job passionately demonstrates for us in that story, trusting that God is strong enough and wise enough and compassionate enough to bear those true feelings. And then something wonderful happens. With all that honesty, we find ourselves suddenly in the midst of a real relationship with God, not merely a polite one. Perhaps best of all, this frees us from the fear that the tragedies that have always, if we're being honest, stubbornly refused to be explained away as part of some good godly plan. It frees us from the fear that those must then be signs of God's absence or hostility. In other words, when bad things happen and we wonder, does this mean God doesn't love me anymore? We are free from that fear. Have no fear. When suffering comes, we don't have to worry that God's behind that, way far away somewhere, behind a curtain, pulling levers. It's not that everything that's done to us is inflicted by God's hand. Instead, it's no matter what happens to us, we are, as the choir sang, in God's hands. God is not far away pulling levers. God is close beside you, in the eye of the storm with you, even in the grave with you, thanks to Jesus. And we can trust that God will lead us safely through on this side of paradise or the next. For even though the earth was when God began to create, God, the great I Am, was before that, and will be long after that. And we will be with God too. That's God's promise. And that is God's plan for you. Amen.